We honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and we come in his name. That's the name that is above every name. At that name, every knee will bow one day. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. Let's honor these other speakers. Sister Lucia Hurd, what an awesome job. Pastor Ed Etheridge, Pastor Kevin Rigby. Amen. And to all of you, the saints of God, we greet you in that wonderful name of Jesus Christ, 16th Street Choir. What a marvelous job they have done in singing and setting the atmosphere for worship. Set an atmosphere that's conducive, amen, for the presence of God, for us to recognize the presence of God, amen. My wife does send her greetings. We got back late last night from, had to speak at a leadership conference in Southeast Alabama, got back kind of late. We have a funeral late on this afternoon, so she's taking care of some other things. So, but she does send her greeting to you in this Building Up the Body conference this morning. It's really time for the body to come together. Amen. Time for the body. First the natural, then the spiritual, and even in the natural, we have a president-elect who understands that he has not been elected to be the president of a red state or a blue state. He's been elected to be the president of the United States of America. He doesn't want to be known as a blue state president. He doesn't even want to be known as a black president. Just as a man who has been elected as the president of the United States of America. Yes, this is history. How can we dare let the natural won't change and we not won't change in the spiritual? Yes, we can. We can. And what God wants in this region, what God wants in this city, what God wants in this state, he doesn't want a Baptist church. He doesn't want a full gospel church. He doesn't want a Pentecostal church. He just wants the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to come together and be the redeemed people of God that we have been called and chosen to be. Do I have a witness in the house today? That's why I was so filled with humility and very honored when Pastor Rigby called and asked us to be a part of this conference. I even made sure that they arranged my schedule this weekend where I was scheduled to speak in a leadership conference to make sure that I could speak last night so I could be back here this morning, because this is my city. This is my community. And I care about what happened here. I live here. I don't live in Atlanta. I don't live in L.A. I don't live in Chicago. I live in Gaston, Alabama. I want to see change happen here. Yeah. We shouldn't have to run to Dallas, run to Atlanta, run all over the United States for a move of God. Why can't God move right here? But that's not what I'm on to talk about. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 3. And may God give us an ear to hear. We really need to hear with our spirit ear. Ephesians chapter 3. I've been selected to and appointed to talk on the topic of building up the spirit. Building up the spirit. We heard about the body. We should present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, she said. Living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. Because if it's not holy, it's not acceptable. We heard about the heart, the most wicked thing above all things. I don't even trust my own heart. Until God has examined my heart and investigated every thought, I've even asked God to investigate the motive behind every thought that I have. I don't trust my heart. That's why David says, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me that I'm not even aware of. I don't want to think I'm good when I'm not. I don't want to think I'm right when I'm wrong." You know, God know your heart better than you know your own heart. God, we don't be true to ourselves. Amen. And the mind. Get your mind renewed. Amen. Get the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. It hasn't manifested, but we have it. By faith we have it. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, where? In the inner man. Whereabout? In the inner man. Now, Lord, your word is already blessed. So Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to use as a subtopic with the thing Pastor Rigby has given me. It's more spiritual than physical. It's more spiritual than physical. And that's the truth. Your life is more spiritual than physical. Please get this. Your life is more spiritual than physical. We attend to the physical more than we do the spiritual. We feed the physical man 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day. He get all kinds of snack, 2 and 3 pieces of cake, 5 biscuit, 4 pieces of fried chicken, seconds and thirds and buffets. And when is the last time we've taken our spirit man to the buffet table? We got 6 to 6 different items on the buffet. From Genesis to Revelation. And we feed him the less, if he get fed at all. And then we have the audacity to ask people to pray our strength in the Lord when we're not in the word. I don't care how much I pray for your strength to be in the Lord, amen, if you're not in the word. So you can feast on the word of God and let the word of God nourish your spirit and your soul, you're not going to be spiritually strong. For man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Do I have a witness in the house? My brothers and my sisters, life is more spiritual than physical. Because even after death, you're still living. You don't die when the spirit leaves your body. You're still living. Your spirit and your soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. Amen. And Paul said, if we die in Christ, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, if you don't die in Christ, you're still absent from the body, but where are you present? Because you're going to be present somewhere after death. If you're not present here, you're present somewhere. And we have to understand that our life is more spiritual than physical, but we get so much attention to the physical that we really forget about the spiritual. And I agree with Pastor Rigby. He's right that most of the churches and most of our local churches, that include United Christian Church, is worldly and carnal. There are 3 kind of men that the Bible talk about: the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. And we have more carnal people in the body of Christ, people who are born again and saved but act like they're sinners, than we have spiritual people who walk after the spirit and not after the flesh. And the natural man is a man who's not even saved. He don't even have any appreciation for the things of God. So that's why when you talk about Christ on your job and to your family members who are not saved, they don't get excited because they don't understand what you're talking about. They don't know the goodness of the Lord yet. They have not tasted the Lord and found out how good he is. But you and I have tasted of the Lord and tasted of the power of the world to come. And we know that our God is a good God. Even when things going bad in my life, he's still good. So I'm not going to bring to the house of God where we come to worship and praise God what happened to me all week long. Amen. He's still been good to me. I don't care if your husband done walked out on you. God's still been good to you. I don't care if your wife left you. God's still been good to you. I don't care if you come in with a sickness in your body. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's still your healer. And the Lord is still good. And your spirit man will praise him at all times. It's your body that don't want to praise him. It's your unrenewed mind that don't want to praise him. There's always a praise in your spirit.
And the Bible said, them that know their God shall be yet praising him no matter what. I used to hear the deacons pray when I was a boy coming up in my home church. I used to hear them pray, you know, prayers, you know. And in their prayers sometimes, some of them would say, Lord, keep us from danger, seen and unseen. I don't believe they had the kind of biblical knowledge that we have today. And we're not doing no better. They had limited knowledge. We have more knowledge and doing worse. Call ourselves speaking in tongues and can't love nobody. You need to get another tongue if you can't love, amen. Because that's the wrong kind of spirit. The Spirit of God sheds the love of God abroad in your heart for it to flow out of you into others. Amen. Got all kind of words, got all kind of highlighted. We don't highlight it many scriptures in the Bible. Doesn't highlight it all kind of scriptures and verses and amen. And we got notes. We've been at conferences. Amen. And still not living any better. And I'm sharing with the saints, it's time out for highlighting the Bible. It's time for let the Bible and the verses of the Bible highlight your life. They're called Bible verses because the Bible will verse you. And sometimes we don't like to go to church where we're going to be versed with the Bible to make us think about the way we're living so we can make a change in our minds and line up with the Word of God. Yeah. There are things that we cannot see that are just as real as the things that we see. Hallelujah. You can't see it right now, but if God would open up your spiritual eyes and let you look into the fourth dimension, you'll see that we're surrounded by angels. I know that they're here because I have some to travel with me all the time. The president has his secret service. I have mine. I have a royal escort everywhere I go. That's why that car didn't hit me and kill me. That's why the devil couldn't take me out. I had angels all day, all night. When I'm awake, when I'm asleep, when I'm going, when I'm coming, angels watching. Elijah said to his servant, hey, don't worry about the enemies that are coming against us, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And he said, what are you talking about? We don't have nobody on our side. He said, Lord, open up his eyes. When God opened up his spiritual eyes and he looked into that realm that cannot be seen with a natural eye, he saw angels all around ready to go into battle on their behalf. Hallelujah. The Bible speaks of the invisible as well as the visible. Amen. Colossians 1 said Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has the preeminence in everything. He's the creator of everything. He's superior over everything. And the Bible says he created the invisible as well as the visible. As a matter of fact, before you became visible, you was invisible. As a matter of fact, before you ever conceived in your mother's womb, you was a thought in the mind of God. God thought about you. God thought out your life. He finished your life before you was conceived in your mother's womb. When you was born, your end had already been finished. As a matter of fact, your end was finished from your beginning. That's why he gave you a beginning. And if you have a beginning, you have an end. Because he established your end from the beginning. The Bible speaks of the invisible things that Christ created as well as the invisible. The Bible speaks of things like the flesh and the spirit, the natural and the spiritual, the things of the spirit and the things of a man, the things present and the things to come. The Bible speaks of things like spiritual fitness and bodily exercise. He said there is some profit to bodily exercise, so get the little profit bodily exercise brings so we can keep our bodies in shape, because our bodies are the carrier of the things of God. And if your body can't go, the things of God can't go. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible speaks of a body, Sister Heard talked about, that was decaying and deteriorating and temporal. Your body is decaying. Our bodies are deteriorating. Our bodies are going back to the dust from whence it came. That's why they sung song like there's a leak in this old building. And my soul has got to move. That's why Paul wrote verses in the Bible like, if the earthly house of this tabernacle should be dissolved, we have another building. Hallelujah. We have another building not made by hands with God in eternity. Do I have a witness in the house? So we have to understand that life is more spiritual than physical. It's more spiritual than physical. Your life is spiritual. You are a spirit being. Most of the time we only know people after the flesh. We know people after the flesh. We love to hear stuff about people's flesh. We love to hear about people's faults and infirmities and weaknesses. Well, everybody have them. Welcome to the club. You got a membership card just like I have one. As long as in this body, we have an imperfect body. But I have a perfect God on the inside of me who's doing a perfect work. I don't go to him talking about my imperfection. I go to him talking about how perfect he is. And reminding him that he said in his word that he would perfect that concerning me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout glory. It's more spiritual than physical. I tell you. David said he knoweth our frame. He knoweth we are dust. Therefore he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor does he reward us according to our iniquity, because he remember who and what we are. Hallelujah. And that's shouting stuff right there. Every last one of us, I'll be shouting and turning cartwheels all over this house, because God has not dealt with you nor me according to our iniquities. He has not rewarded us according to the sins we have committed. That's a merciful God. And I give him glory. And I give him honor. And I give him praise. We must understand who we are. I don't think we really understand fully who we really are. Man is a triune being. He's a triune being. He's a threefold being. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. And he lives in a body. God blew into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He became a spirit being with a soul. Hallelujah. Amen. And now look at this. The Bible said God created man. How? In his image and according to his likeness. Now, God is not a physical being. Jesus said, they that worship him, amen. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You may see my hands go up, but it's not really my hands that's worshiping God. My hands are only expressing what I feel on the inside about God. You may see me running and shouting, but you know, that's just our expression of the inward reality that's happening on the inside, and that has happened on the inside of me. Man is a spirit being. He is a spirit, and Paul said you need to strengthen the inner man. Hallelujah. Because the physical man grow weary sometimes. The physical man get weak sometimes. The physical man doesn't feel like going on sometimes. The physical man doesn't want to endure sometimes. But the spirit man, who knows that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning, will take over the house and endure hardness as a good soldier should, because he knows something better is coming tomorrow. Something better that the flesh cannot see today. It's more spiritual, I tell you, than physical. Man is a spirit being. He is a spirit, pneuma, Greek word pneuma. He has a soul, psyche or psuche, amen. And he lives in a body, soma. Amen. He has a body. The spirit man, amen, it's a spiritual part of us. It's the one who has spiritual insight. When Jesus said, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear, he's not talking about your physical ears. There's an inner ear that the heart has that man needs to listen with. When he said, if the eye is single, the whole body is single, he's not really talking about the physical eye. He's talking about the eye that is the gateway to the soul. That when that eye can see, then the whole body gonna have light. Do I have a witness in the house? In your spirit is prayer. In your spirit is faith. In your spirit is worship. In your spirit is reverence. There are days your flesh don't want to worship. There's some days you don't want to come to choir preparation. There's some days you don't feel like doing the God's will. Don't tell me every day your flesh want to automatically do the will of God. There's some days your spirit man has to rise up and say, hey, we're taking over. You're going to go even though you don't feel like going. I know you're tired. I know you done worked all day. I know you done had a late night, but you're going to the Building Up the Body conference on Saturday morning, and you're going to stay to the end. You wanted to leave, but the spirit man said, stay. You thinking about what you got to do later on today. You thinking about where you got to go, what you got to take care of. Your flesh wanted to go, but your spirit said, man, said, not today. You done had your way long enough. Today, you're going to sit at the feet of Jesus and worship him and hear the word of the living God. Your spirit man never get cast down. Your spirit man is never disappointed. It's your soul. Your soul get cast down sometimes. It's your soul sometimes that's agitated. It's your soul sometimes that get disturbed, not your spirit man. Why do you think the psalmist wrote in the psalm and said it in a couple of places, soul, why are you cast down? He didn't say spirit, soul. Why are you cast down? Hope thou in God. Do you not have the same hope your spirit man has? Are you not believing for the same thing tomorrow that your spirit man is believing for? So what are you doing here? Get up from here. And keep your hope in God. Run on, because you know what the end is going to be. Oh no, I'm not running on to see what the end is going to be. I'm running on because I know what the end is going to be already. Jesus knew what the end was going to be before he went to Calvary. He knew what the end was going to be before he went to God. He talked about it. The Son of Man shall be betrayed and turned over to Gentiles. They shall mock him. They shall scourge him. They're going to crucify him and put him on the cross. But on the third day, he's going to rise again. How are you going to get up out of that grave, Jesus? I'm going to get up with all power in heaven and in earth in my hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Get your soul up from where it's at. You are more spirit bent than a physical bent. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And that word creature in the Greek means species. That means you're a brand new species altogether. And I know we sing songs. I looked at my hands, and my hands looked new, and all my hands had that same scar head as a teenager. I looked at my feet, and they did too. No, they still rough. Whatever I was wearing the day before I got saved, I was wearing the same thing when I accepted Christ. Only way I'm going to change how much I weigh, I got to go on a diet, I got to lose some pounds. Otherwise, I'm the same physically. My physical features didn't change when I got saved, but something happened on the inside of me. It was a change on the inside. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Two main Hawkins, a change has come over me. He changed my life, and now I'm free, and now I'm complete, and now I'm made whole in him, and now my name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm saved. Hallelujah, I'm saved. It's the inner man. And when you got saved, your mind didn't get saved. Your body didn't get saved. Your body shall be saved one day. Your mind is being saved right now. It's your spirit man that got saved. James said, receive the engrafted word of God with meekness, which is able to save your soul. It's able to deliver your mind so your mind can catch up with your spirit. Otherwise, you're living in a divided house. And that's why you can never walk in victory. It's amazing, Pastor Rip, you talked about how, you know, when you really know God, you begin to walk in what you know. You cannot tell me, amen, anything about what I know now about the Lord. What I know is what I know. The Lord will make a way for you. When people count you out, don't give up on God.
I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God will always cause us to triumph no matter what we go through in this life. I know that if God be for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. I know that when the Lord is your shepherd, you don't have no want. I know the Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. He gave me his word. Just some things I know that nobody can take me away from. And when you begin to walk in what you know, when you begin to walk in your confidence that you have in God, that the Hebrew writer said we should never cast away because your confidence has a great recompense of reward. People who don't know you after the spirit will take you to be arrogant after the flesh. Amen. But when you know what you know, when you know you can cook a good pound cake, you just know you can do it. You don't have to brag about it. Come on, some ladies. Amen. Well, you know you can do it. You don't have to brag about it. You know when you cook it, it's going to be. You to the point right now, you don't have to taste it no more before you send it out. You know it's good. Why can't we have that same confidence in the spirit? Why can't I have that same kind of confidence in my God? My God is able to deliver us. And not only is our God able, but our God will deliver. Hallelujah. Now, as I get ready to close, how do I build up the inner man? Since we have an inner man, and Paul said the inner man needs to be strengthening. I'm going to tell you right now, I prophesy. You think things are tough now. People are taking their lives. Eight-year-olds are killing their fathers. Some terrible things are happening, and we have not even begun to enter into really the times of Jacob's trouble yet. And if men heart are filling them now from the fear of those things that are coming up on the earth, what's going to happen in the days ahead? Yeah. And the only way we're going to make it as believers in what's coming ahead is that you're going to have to be strong in your inner man. You hear me today? You got to be strong in your. The day is coming where you're not going to have time to be trying to carry your brother and sister along, drag them along. You're just going to only have strength enough for yourself. Because the same warning you're hearing today, every last one of us are hearing today. I done told my wife and my children, I done told the church that God has privileged me to oversee, the day is coming where you better have enough oil for your own lamp. Just in case the bridegroom delay his coming, but I got a feeling he's coming again so soon. But just in case he delay his coming, you better carry enough oil for yourself. I don't have time to give you some of my oil. I might run out while I'm waiting on him. Just like I'm hearing from God, you're hearing from God too. We coming at a time where now you got to know God for yourself. You got to serve God for how much you love him. You got to serve him for what you want to go with God and what you want God to do in your life. And they that have an ear, let them hear. And when they hear, they can make the same kind of adjustments that you and I are going to have to make in order to endure through those days that are coming tomorrow. They are coming. How do I strengthen my inner man? Through the word of God. Paul said, I commit you to the word of God. Amen. Which is able to build you up. And give you an inheritance. Among all those who are called to be the saints of God. You got to get into the word. Pastor Etcher talked about that. Pastor Ribbick talked about that. You're going to get your mind renewed. You got to get into the word. And one of the most, one of the books that we fail to read on a regular basis is the word of God. It's amazing how we come to church waiting on the preacher to teach us everything and don't go home and study the word for ourselves. This is a day and hour that we're living in where we must become like the Christians in the church at Berea in Acts chapter 17. When Paul and the apostles and other ministers of God finished preaching and teaching in the church service, they went home and studied the word of God for themselves to make sure that what they had heard in the church service was accurate and according to the word of God. It's one thing having God to speak to you through another, but it's another thing to have God to speak to you, amen, directly, amen, to you, amen, for yourself. And to hear a word from the Lord. Do I have a witness? I'm reminded of the song that said, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear calling up, falling on my ear, it's the Son of God. He's disclosing. He's disclosing some truth to me. He's letting me see what's about to come before it take place.
He's letting me hear the things he's getting ready to perform in our lifetime. And the Bible, the songwriter didn't stop right there. He said, the Son of God discloses, and he said, the joy we share as we tarry there. Nobody ever knows the joy that you and the Lord share. That's why I don't mind folks laughing at me when I praise God. It doesn't bother when folks criticize me for my zeal and passion that I have for the Lord. When you don't know where the Lord has brought me from, you don't have a right to shoot down my praise. And I don't have a right to shoot down your praise. Nobody knows what the Lord has done for you but you. Do I have a witness in the house? If you knew where the Lord had brought me from, you'd be shouting for me too. Am I right about that, Bubba? If you knew the dangers that God had brought me through, you'd be praising God for me. I've got to praise the Lord. I've got to bless his name. He saved a wretch like me. Yes, he did. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.